True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show. Let's do this Chris Herring deal. Chris Herring joins me now. Chris, what are we listening to?
That's North Kakalaki Girl by The Raining Sound. A band that has, I believe, sort of dual citizenship between Memphis and Asheville, North Carolina. So for a Memphis Charlotte game tonight.
Yeah, how's Charlotte? They're terrible. And injured too, right?
Yeah, I mean who knows where injuries stop and just like not playing guys starts and all of that. I mean, Brandon Miller got hurt a while back. So that team has packed it in. Which doesn't mean, like, you know, anything can happen on a random night in the association, so you take nothing for granted, take nothing lightly, you never know. But, like, the Grizzlies obviously have no business losing the game tonight.
Right. You had a piece up, went up yesterday. I've tweeted it out. I'd urge people to read it. Everything you need to know about this this exciting week in Grizzly basketball. You got everyone's schedules there in addition to the standings and whatnot. So it's a very helpful column in addition to everything else. I was just thinking about it. We've never had a week like this. Has there ever been a final week of the season in Memphis Grizzly lore that has been tense before, even, really? You'd have to go back and think about it.
Yeah, I don't have all the... I know that they maneuvered.
Right.
Like, you know, in 2011, they maneuvered from 6-8 in the final week on purpose. There was another year where it was very tight, and this may have even been the earlier era. It was when the seeding was different because of division titles, and there was something. It went down to the final week, and the Grizzlies had a better record than some team but got a worse matchup because of the division stuff.
Jeffrey says Portland. He said it was Portland.
Maybe.
I guess the point is the stakes have never been – the stakes are pretty damn – like play-in versus in, is that's a pretty significant stakes here that we're looking at for this Grizzly season. So kind of amazing. When I think about it, Chris, as I size up the teams that you're jockeying with, I take Minnesota and say you can take care of Minnesota. You play them head up, straight up, plus you already have the tiebreaker over them. If you can just take care of Minnesota by beating them, right? The other two, though,
unless you lose to Charlotte and then lose to Dallas,
right?
Yeah, you know,
yeah. I'm assuming wins over Dallas and Charlotte, exactly. And then the other two, you have to somehow end up with one fewer loss going forward than both the Clippers than one of the other, the Clippers or the Warriors, if you can take care of Minnesota. You still need to take care of one of these other teams. You have to have one fewer loss going forward
Those things play each other. And so if you win out, you will pass one of those teams.
Right. You'll pass one of those teams. But I'm also kind of thinking they're gonna lose to Denver, which means I need either the Clippers or the Warriors to lose two games. And Warriors, and again, I'm looking at your column, they got Phoenix, the Spurs, at Portland, and then that game against the Clippers. I suppose they could lose at Portland. I mean, as you point out, it's a game in the association. They could lose any of them. But in terms of likelihoods, it feels to me like it's unlikely the Warriors are going to lose more than one more. The Clippers, though, they've got Houston plus that game against the Warriors. I think the team that you most – plus at Sacramento. Houston at Sacramento, right, and that game against the Warriors. That seems to me to be the target. Well, I mean, you just – of course, they're just trying to win their games, the Grizzlies. But I don't know. What do you make of the race, I guess, is my question.
I think the Grizzlies should try to win out, you know. I mean, Denver has been Denver's been struggling. You know, you're home against Minnesota. Like, why not go win the games? In the absence of that, like, it's not in your control. The only thing that's in your control is the games that you have.
Right.
And so I think if the Grizzlies, the way I'd mapped it out, and I don't think, like, this is all not going to go to form, but I mapped it out in a way that if you assume every team wins its home games and every team wins the road games against non-playoff teams and loses the road games to playoff teams, in that scenario, the Grizzlies, like, lose a game and still get fifth. And so, like, they don't have to win out to get much less six to get up to fifth. But, like, that does, you know, that means that, you know, the Clippers are losing at Sacramento. Because in that formulation, that's what I have, because Sacramento is a postseason team.
Right.
They're in a playoff race, and they win their home game. And so, is that going to happen? I don't know. So, it's not, if the Grizzlies win out, they're going to be no worse than fifth. But there are reasonable scenarios where they don't win out and they still get above the play-in line. But, you know, there are also reasonable scenarios where, you know, they go 3-1 and it doesn't happen that way.
Okay, a couple things from your piece. And some of these things we talked about previously. But Edie, we talked about how the offense has changed. And I don't know if you have the numbers in front of you. But what's a screen assist and how have these changed under Isola?
Well, I'm citing that because it's there to be cited. Like, it's a thing you can look up at NBA.com. Like, I don't want to make too much of it, but it's a stat that they track where, like, you know, if you set a screen and the guy coming off the screen scores, you know, then you get registered a screen assist on that. And it is one marker. It's one marker that's publicly available. There are probably better markers that, you know, if you have a Synergy account or whatever that I don't have. But it's one marker that's publicly available. And the Grizzlies on the season as a whole – or Dev and Steven Adams always had very high screen assist numbers, yeah, right? And so the Grizzlies are a team that on the season as a whole is last in the league in screen assists per game and by a pretty hefty margin. Like, the gap between Grizzlies at 30 and the Pacers at 29 is the same as the gap between the Pacers at 29 and I think Phoenix at 7. But that has changed lately, and the Grizzlies number for the whole team on the season, their average is the same as Zach Edey's average under Isola. And then the team number is like double that. And so they're last on the season in screen assists and they're like eighth, you know, in the last five games since Isola's been coaching. So it is something you can clearly see. You can watch it on the floor and you can look at the numbers and you can see they are using Edey's screening in particular to try to get guards free and to set up scoring opportunities.
Yeah, the numbers were 4.8 a game prior to Isola becoming the head coach. Now Edie has 4.8 himself per game, and they have gone risen to 8.4. As you pointed out yesterday, and as you pointed out the column, though, this isn't an absolute good thing. Like, it doesn't mean it's better. It's going to produce better offense. It means it's a different offense, right?
Right. Yeah, I mean, it utilizes the strengths of one of your starting players, and they should be trying to utilize the strengths of all their key players. And so It definitely fits Edie. It fits Morant. I think it fits Bane a little bit. Bane had a great, like, you know, relationship with Steven Adams in terms of working off screens. The offensive numbers have not been good the last five games. The defense has been a lot better. The offense has actually been worse. But is that because of, like, their offensive approach? Or is that because they played four top 10 defenses in the last five games and Luke Kennard can't hit shots, you know? And so you always got to be careful with grand pronouncements off of small sample sizes. But you can see some differences in their approach.
And his minutes have gone from, well, Edie was averaging, again, according to your column, 18 minutes a game the last five games of Taylor Jenkins, and is now up to 26. I think that is. I mean, I think that some of that just he likes what Edie brings. I think also some of that's Brandon Clark, although I don't know when.
Right.
You know, when did Brandon leave the scene? I don't, you know, was
that was sort of on the road trip. And so, you know, the last couple of games. So Jenkins did not move Jenkins took Edie out of the starting lineup. He did not move him back when Brandon Clark got hurt. I mean, he stakes up with Aldama, and Isolo made that change. And I think the elevation of Edie in terms of role and in terms of usage fits the way Isolo seems to have coached in Europe and what his sort of approach was. And also, I think that's what the Grizzlies want organizationally. You know, like they drafted Zach Edey for a reason, and they wanted to utilize him in that way, in the way they had utilized Stephen Adams and Jonas Valanciunas, and they wanted to try to blend that familiar usage with some other tweaks that would, like, you know, get better shooting and better space in the offense. And I think Taylor Jenkins trying to pursue, you know, blending that stuff together, you know, depending on how you perceive it. Maybe it was too slow to blend it. Maybe he emphasized the wrong things on the front end. Maybe the team just wasn't patient enough and Taylor Jenkins should still be the head coach. Like, people could disagree on that. But I think the idea of using Edie in that way and then blending it with other stuff was, I think, the organization's idea from the jump when they drafted Zach Edey.
And then you mentioned the offensive numbers have not been better under Isolo. There are all kinds of reasons for that, small sample size, everything else. The defensive numbers are pretty remarkable. Last five under Taylor Jenkins, they gave up 49% shooting, 44 from three. So far under Isolo, 43% shooting, 37% from three. Do you put anything in that beyond fluke and opposite, you know, the who they were playing and it's a small sample size?
Oh, I think the coaching change had a focusing effect. I think that it tends to.
Right.
And I think the reality of the race had a focusing effect. You put those things together, and I think probably the consistency of the effort level and the consistency of the focus has probably gotten a little bit better on the defensive end. And, you know, there may be some other just variance randomness in there too, but I think it's probably fair to conclude that, like, the team has, like, refocused itself a little bit on that end.
Among the other interesting things tonight, let's hope that Ja keeps things holstered, but I expect, and I guess it feels like, the return of Vince Williams, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, he's not on the injury list.
Injured
so, I mean, we'll see, you know, how much he plays, where he plays. I mean, Tuma Sasalo was not with the Grizzlies last season when Vince Williams was good, right? So I don't know if he has the same faith of, like, there's something there with him or not. The fact that you know, Canardis was struggling, I would assume that Williams will get into the rotation mix in the first half, and we'll see what he does. But I don't know for certain that that'll be the case. I think it should be.
And then I never touched on, I guess, late last week, and maybe it came out actually after the show Friday, you were reevaluating or taking another run at whether you think Jaren will still be all NBA. And you said you would still make him all NBA, but you think the Grizzlies' struggles have maybe dimmed his chances?
Well, my prediction is he'll be third team. I think he would have been second team if the vote was taken a month ago. And I think now he is likely to be third team. But you know, that is a movement in a certain direction. So I do think that the Grizzlies' struggles, he missed some games in there. I do think that's lowered his evaluation around the league. I think there's been I think he's being discounted a little bit when some stuff I've read, stuff I've listened to, but not so much that I think he'll still be third team, but I don't think it's 100% locked. I mean, when you start just if you start putting it together, there are guys you're going to leave off, right? And so you could get into, if Jaren gets pushed down to the third team on a lot of ballots, third team consideration, then, you know, you're looking at him versus Alperen Şengün with the Rockets, who's the best player on a Rockets team that's going to finish a strong second now in the West. You're looking at him versus Jalen Williams, who, you know, is the second best player on the best team in the league in Oklahoma City. The teams are not positionally based anymore, even though I sort of did it that way. I think a lot of people still do it that way, but it doesn't have to be that way. So now you could be looking at people, you know, comparing sitting Jaren Jackson Jr. next to Jalen Brunson on their 13 ballot, or next to Darius Garland, or next to whatever. And so I do think the last month has done damage to his case. I still think he'll be third team all NBA, But I think we'll be sweating out. The Grizzlies will be sweating out the results when they come out.
Chris, thanks very much. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
Chris Harrington from the Daily Memphian. We got Fish on Friday on Tuesday. Coming up next, it is the Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
I've been working with a nurse dietitian for the last 6 months, and it's been life-changing. I've lost weight, healed my relationship with food, and have way more energy. Working with a dietitian online to create a personalized nutrition plan was so easy thanks to Nourish. The best part? I pay $0 out of pocket because Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show, joined now by Charles Fishman. He's our man in Washington, D.C., author of 3 New York Times bestsellers, most recently One Giant Leap, about the extraordinary efforts of ordinary Americans to get us to the moon. Also a 3-time winner of the Gerald Loeb Award for business writing, and a retired Mississippi River tugboat deckhand joins us now. And here's the thing, Charles. You've now been doing this how many years? How many years have we been doing this?
God, you have a short memory.
We
just
22.
Celebrated.
We started in 21?
We started in the year of the pandemic, March 2020. We just celebrated the 5th birthday of the segment, which dominates the show.
Weirdly enough.
Gives you the best rating.
Weirdly enough, because we don't have, like, we're not actually in the midst of a pandemic or, you know, 9/11 or whatever. Weirdly enough, somehow here we are in April of 2025, and it is maybe the most important, stunning economic developments of the 5-year run of our show. And so
let's
I think
be honest, you're privileged this morning.
Uh-huh.
At this moment, you might call it an economic pandemic,
right?
The most important economic developments maybe of the century are happening right now, And who do you ask?
Someone who does not have a degree in economics. Right. Someone who does not have a degree in economics.
Yeah. You know, that's a little bit of mythology. Half of my degree
social
is
studies,
economics.
Social studies.
Yeah,
I want to mark this critical moment. I think we'll do a tariff Q&A in a moment. But before we do that, just to lighten the mood, because things have, let's be honest, been a little grim lately. Just to lighten the mood.
Only if you look at your savings accounts have they been grim.
Otherwise, it's a cheery spring. Cherry blossoms and everything else. So
I'm looking at a cherry tree.
In your backyard.
In my yard. It's my birthday present 2 years ago. The cherry blossoms at the mall, the big famous cherry blossoms.
I know, you got cherry blossoms. We got cherry blossoms, too.
No, they peaked and they're gone.
Okay.
But the Fishman Wilson family tree.
Yeah, I'm sure people are interested in that.
Is in a dip in the backyard where it's a little cold.
Highly interested.
And it is just coming to peak right now.
This isn't what I wanted. This is what I wanted. Something bubbly and frivolous to start.
A cherry tree.
Not your damn cherry tree. No one gives a damn about your cherry tree. You could chop it down, become president, and then we'll learn. I want something fizzy. You got anything fizzy to start this show with? Segment with.
This was so surprising to me. The interesting news is let's ask this question. What is it? We really don't play Believe It or Not on our segment.
No.
Are you a Pepsi person or a Coke person?
We've discussed this before. I don't give a damn. I drink them both. Jeffrey, you and Jeffrey both are.
Wait a minute, that's not really true. When you go to a convenience store, you never voluntarily.
That's not true. I often pick up the Pepsi. They're interchangeable to me.
Diet
Pepsi. They're both diet, but I usually eat maybe 7 out of 10 times I'll grab a Diet Coke. 3 out of 10 times I'll intentionally get the Diet Pepsi. Doesn't make any difference.
What about you, Jeffrey?
Jeffrey gets Dr. Pepper.
Yeah, but I mean, if it's Coke or Pepsi.
Dr. Pepper.
Yeah,
he will not get a Pepsi, right, Jeffrey?
Yeah,
He's like you.
I have to be forced to get Pepsi.
Right. He's like you.
We were just eating at a restaurant for my birthday on Saturday for
Happy
brunch.
Birthday, by the way. Yeah.
Thank you very, very much. I'm older than the show. I'm not five.
Older than me, too.
And I said to the server, the waitress, is it okay to say waitress? I don't know. I said to the waiter, the female waiter, are you a Coke place or a Pepsi place? Now, on Saturday, it was Coke, so I had a Diet Coke. If they say Pepsi, most restaurants are many restaurants are one or the other,
I opt
for iced tea.
Right.
I know there
are lots of people like you. I don't think that's the majority of people, but there's lots of people like you. What's the news that you're telling me, though?
Well, the news is focused on Jeffrey Wright. Is Jeffrey Wright a millennial? A Gen Y-er? What generation
are you, Jeffrey?
Jeffrey?
I'm the early part of the millennials.
Pepsi has fallen to number 3 in the U.S. market for carbonated soda, the classic sodas, not sales of everything like the waters and the Gatorade and the fruit, just soda. Coke number 1, Dr. Pepper is number 2, Dr. Pepper, independent company, odd. Dr. Pepper and Keurig are one company, the little coffee pot company. And Schweppes, yep, and Schweppes, Schweppes, old classic. Coke, Dr. Pepper, and Pepsi is now number 3, and the CEO of Pepsi is in a little bit of a panic trying to bring Pepsi back. Just in the last few weeks, the Secretary of Health and Human Services, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., has called carbonated soda poison. That's bad for your market.
Let me ask you this.
When you
say Coke, Diet Coke, and Dr. Pepper.
No.
Can I ask a question? When you say Coke, Pepsi, and Dr. Pepper, are you lumping in the diet versions of those all as part of the ranking?
Yes. The branded sodas that are branded with those names.
Because I imagine more Diet Coke sells than Coke, but I don't know. Or my Diet Pepsi than Pepsi, or maybe you don't know the answer.
Just did based on individual variety, Coke was 1, Diet Coke was 2.
I see.
Diet Coke sales have overtaken classic Coke.
So there you go.
Are you surprised, Jeffrey?
I never buy a Coke.
Dr. Pepper's 2?
No, because it first... it first ticked last year. This was a because obviously retail stuff, right. Any retail food and bev appeals to me. So I saw that story.
All right. So anyway, all right. Interestingly,
before we move on, overall, soda sales are falling dramatically.
Yeah.
Before even our called them poison.
Yeah.
Between 2010 and 2023, the most recent years for the data, Coke sales overall, drink sales down 14%.
There's all kinds of stuff to drink now that isn't soda. Like there's bubbly water.
But let me finish my data, okay? Pepsi sales are down 32%. So if your industry has shrunk by, if your business has shrunk by a third since 2010, you're in a world of hurt. Just a reminder, Pepsi used to own Kentucky Fried Chicken, Taco Bell, and Pizza Hut. They sold those, but Pepsi still owns Doritos, Lay's, Cheetos, Tostitos, Gatorade, Quaker Oats. So they've got the food. Coke never went into the food business. They stayed focused. So there you go. Right.
Onward to tariffs.
They're trying to their way back.
Onward to tariffs. Charles, are these I've heard them called reciprocal tariffs. So these like here's the deal. These people are screwing us. They've been screwing us for forever. They've been putting tariffs on stuff we send them and yet flooding our markets, and it's unfair, and it's time we put this to an end with reciprocal tariffs. Is that what's happening here?
Well, I want to say two things. The first is we need to take a step back for just a minute and explain what a tariff is. There's a really good comparison that popped into my head.
Go ahead.
When you buy a meal at a restaurant, when you buy supplies at Walmart, you pay sales tax.
Yeah.
You personally pay the sales tax. It's right there on your Walmart receipt, on your McDonald's receipt. You're paying the sales tax.
Right.
A tariff is a sales tax. The company bringing the good to you doesn't pay the sales tax. The company that made it doesn't pay the sales tax. The buyer pays the sales tax. So tariffs are paid by U.S. companies.
Let's be clear, though.
Purchasing
products. I see. The buyer, okay? Not the...
So if I'm General Motors, if I'm Walmart, if I'm a Starbucks buying coffee, the coffee company doesn't pay the tariffs. The Chinese toy company, the Chinese sneaker company that makes them, doesn't pay the tariffs. The person buying the product,
I see,
in this case companies, pays the tariffs just like when you pay sales tax. That is what tariffs are. And then that company, Starbucks, Walmart, Dodge, Honda, whoever, they have to decide how much of the tariff to pass on to you. But the tariffs are not paid by companies in Brazil or China or Vietnam or India. They're paid by us.
How about, in a situation where like an Apple phone is made in China by Apple, so it's not being purchased by anybody. It's just being imported.
First of all, Apple has no manufacturing facilities at all. They buy all their, they hire.
They do buy them, in fact, when they're buying them.
They hire the manufacturing. But it doesn't matter. That's why Trump keeps saying, if you want to avoid the tariffs and your BMW, just build your BMW factory in Alabama, and then there's no tariffs. He's not concerned with who owns the factory. He's concerned with where the stuff is made.
I'm saying, my point is that even if there's no sale when it's crossing the border, there's a tariff. In other words, it doesn't matter. If GM owned a factory in Mexico and they're not buying the car from Mexico and therefore paying the tariff, they're just hauling it over the border and they get the tariff. Right. Okay.
Okay. But you used a poor example because in the midst of all of this, it's literally been a hurricane of tariff information.
Yeah.
Oddly, Mexico and Canada
have
been exempted from all of the new tariffs.
Right, they're the old
tariffs. They already have tariffs on their stuff.
Right.
Right. If their goods comply with the existing trade agreement, so the price of Mexican avocados will go up or has gone up, but it's not going up anymore. So that's point one. Point two is Trump said over and over and over, including at the Rose Garden event on Friday, these are just reciprocal tariffs. We calculated what they charge us. Then we cut that in half because we're nice, and that's the tariff. Vietnam charges us 92%, so we're going to charge them 46%.
Okay.
That is 100% not true. the chart that everybody's seen of nations and what their tariffs are on us and what we're charging them, everybody agrees, even the White House acknowledges, those are not reciprocal tariffs. Trump set the tariffs based on the difference in trade purchasing, on the trade imbalance, with Israel and China and Vietnam. Trump is, it's fair to say, obsessed with the idea that if we buy more products from Vietnam or we buy more products from China, they must be ripping us off. He's clearly, all due respect, confused by the word deficit. We all have a trade deficit with almost everybody. I have a trade deficit with my dry cleaner and with Giant Supermarket. I buy $200 in groceries a week from Giant. They never buy anything from me. That's not a trade deficit. I'm happy that I bought my milk and my eggs and my cheddar cheese from Giant. I'm happy with the price. They're happy I purchased them. They were happy to sell them to me. That's a mutually satisfying transaction. By the same token, when Walmart or Gap or Target buys clothing that they've designed and contracted from Vietnam, they're happy with the purchase from Vietnam, and Vietnam is happy to sell it to them. There's no ripoff there. But the word deficit, the fact that China sells us $500 billion more stuff,
we talked about this yesterday.
That's under the skin of the president.
We were talking about this. Jeffrey and I talked about this with Lesotho, which is a tiny little country. Doesn't buy anything.
Lesotho, right.
That's what I just said. Doesn't buy anything from us, but we buy diamonds from them. And so there's nothing going to be. And so they've been slammed with a 50% tariff. But it's not going to,
and
we can't produce the damn
Lesotho,
diamonds here because, you know, there's a tariff on
right. Most of the people in Lesotho are very poor.
Right.
They can't afford, software and high priced pharmaceuticals and right. airplanes, which are the things we make. So not only how would you balance that trade deficit, but why would you? So anyway,
okay.
let's talk for a minute about
I want to ask about this idea that it will bring back manufacturing. How about that? The idea, and that's important for jobs, and it's also important for security that we make our own stuff.
Well, it seems extremely unlikely to bring back jobs because, first of all, there are things like clothing, like toys, small manufactured goods, shoes, like small, you know, appliances that cost under $100, like microwaves, blenders, hand mixers,
right.
toaster ovens.
Right. Yeah.
It's never, even with the tariff, you can buy a hand mixer at Walmart for $15.99. You can buy a microwave oven for $49.99. I like to point out to people when they're thinking about this, if you bought the microwave oven in the box for $49.99 from Walmart, and then you took it to the post office or to UPS or to FedEx, and you wanted to ship your brand new oven back to the city in China that made it,
right?
You couldn't mail it back for $49.99. It would cost you. So
they
find the raw materials,
yes.
make the parts, assemble the parts, make the box, pack it all up, ship it to us, make a profit, and we couldn't send it back to them for what they sell it to us for. So the microwave oven might end up being $79.99 instead of $49.99 because of the 49% tariffs, but we couldn't make it for $79.99 in the U.S. with a factory. Some factories may come back. The auto makers are furiously scrambling to figure out how to rearrange parts made here and there and engines and stuff, and can we make those parts in our factories? What would we have to do? But factories are highly automated, and modern factories are really highly automated. I told the story on Twitter. I wanted to go visit a paper towel factory in the early 2000s for reasons I can't remember, and Bounty got tired of me asking, and they literally just gave me the name and phone number of the factory manager in Albany, Georgia, where Bounty paper towels are made. And he said, "Mr. Fishman, the factory floor is the size of 6 football fields. It's making paper towels 24 hours a day, 7 days a week." I'm like, "I can't wait to go." He said, "And we keep the lights off because there's no people. 6 people a shift, 5 football fields, sir, there's nothing to see. You don't need to come watch. And they didn't let me go. But that's called a lights-out factory. So if you bring factories back to the United States, you're not opening a factory that costs $1 billion and is going to have 2,000 people or 1,000 people or maybe even 250 people. It's going to have 100 people or 40 people. And what's the cost of doing that? Also, a typical factory like that takes 18 months to plan. You have to get approvals, build the building, buy the equipment, all that stuff. It takes literally more than a year.
We're aware. We got the Blue Oval thing that's been about being built out here for the last 10 years, it feels like. Let me ask you this, though, because it gets to...
Hang on. Let me point out one more thing.
Yes.
This is part of the oddity and frankly, the incompetence of these tariffs. The Trump tariffs impose the same costs, the same taxes on manufacturing equipment as they do on consumer products. So if instead of buying the blenders, you want to buy the machine parts to make the blenders, the machinery to make them,
right. You're
still paying the tariff. So if you wanted to incentivize people to build the factories, you can say the products themselves we're putting the tariffs on. If you're going to buy the machines from Germany or China or Vietnam to make the products, the machines are going to come in tariff free. That's not the case.
Well, this is a Q&A. I ask the questions, you give me the answers. There's a because one of the things that confuses me is that if the goal is to, sometimes you hear the goal is to restart manufacturing, which we just discussed, or to actually raise money. That's another one, so they can lower taxes, right? They will raise money
by putting revenue, right?
Is another one, and yet then we also hear these are negotiable, right? You're going to come and you're going to negotiate a deal. Like Netanyahu was just in Washington yesterday; he may still be there, whatever, and trying to negotiate a deal with Israel
He said Israel's tariffs are going to zero.
Yeah. So what is it? Is it is this leverage to get better tariffs and the tariffs, everything's negotiable? It's going to go like I can't plan a factory that's going to be open in 5 years if the tariffs are gone in 6 months or in a year, honestly, or in whatever. Who the hell knows?
It's that kind of chaotic situation freezes business. They stop doing business. Here's what Donald Trump said yesterday when he was asked directly, are these tariffs permanent, as you said last Wednesday, or are they negotiable, as you seem to have said with excitement when the South Koreans are on the plane this morning coming to negotiate? He's announced that on Truth Social. He said, both can be true. They're both permanent and negotiable. So, I mean, to be honest, what does that even mean? The whole point, I had an insight about this with Donald Trump. Donald Trump lives in the world of real estate. And in a real estate negotiation, when you're buying a house, when you're buying land for a golf course, when you're buying a hotel, when you're negotiating a lease, this kind of stompy, arms crossed, face off, I'm walking out, no, we're not doing that. That works well in real estate. There's no consequences. The house either gets sold or it doesn't. The golf course land either gets sold or it doesn't. It isn't waiting for some half, for some time nearby in the future when things will happen. And he's used to negotiating like that. And he likes negotiating like that. The problem is that if you run Walmart, if you run Ford, you can't operate like that because the kinds of investments necessary to compensate for the tariffs take years of money and years to pay off. And then if you undo the tariffs and your competitors go back to buying blenders from China at $12.99 each and you've built a blender factory, then you're out of luck. So what happens is Trump revels in this. They're coming to talk to me. We'll see. I have maximum leverage, which he's used to from his business career, but his business career did not prepare him, did not give him the experience that manufacturers have. And so we don't know whether they're permanent or temporary. Briefly, yesterday, on Monday morning, the stock market was down, the Dow was down 400, 500 points. There was a report from CNBC that one of Trump's key tariff advisors said the tariffs would be postponed for 90 days, would be frozen for 90 days so that everybody could come negotiate their own deal. The Dow went from minus 400 to plus 300 in literally 90 seconds. Then when the White House said that report is quote-unquote fake news, not true, the Dow just went back down to minus 400. So the business community really wants some certainty on the tariffs.
Yeah, I saw that there was a run on iPhones. iPhone people are car dealerships and iPhones, but I want to focus on iPhones. Are iPhones going to be more expensive? What's happening with iPhones?
Well, here's the thing. A couple of things are happening with iPhones. iPhones are made in China and Vietnam and India, all of which have, I mean, the China tariffs now are at 54%, 34% plus the previous 20%. Trump said he was going to add another 50% today or tomorrow if China, quote unquote, retaliated, if China matches our tariff, which they have. Well, they're estimating that the basic cost of an iPhone 16, the cost to Apple is going to go from $580 to $850. So that's, you know, a $270 increase. Apple's not going to eat a $270 increase, but they also can't afford to raise the price of an $800 phone by $270. So they're going to split the difference. Everybody's going to sell what they got right now. So there's this, if you want an iPhone that before the price increase, the prices are going up.
When's it going to happen? In a month? 2 months? Soon.
Go buy it. Yeah. Well, it's going to happen in two different ways. It's going to happen when the new products come in. So right now, fish and shrimp and coffee is being imported every day, and the tariffs went into effect last week. So the coffee that lands today is hit with the tariff. Coffee that's sitting in a warehouse in you know, Arkansas or California or Massachusetts waiting to be put on supermarket shelves, that coffee came in before the tariffs. Now, maybe people will raise the price of that a little bit to get you used to the new prices and to build a little cushion for themselves when the tariff coffee comes in and they can't charge the whole price. The prices are going to start going up between now and 6 weeks from now. Apple, as an example, usually has a supply of between 4 and 8 months of iPhones in the, 4 weeks and 8 weeks, 1 to 2 months of supply in the country. But if people are racing to buy iPhones, the 6 week supply is going to disappear in 2 weeks. And then all the new iPhones, newly imported iPhones, will be hit with the tariff. What exactly Apple's going to do, it hasn't announced. Most analysts think that for the next couple of months, until the iPhone 17 in September, they won't raise prices because that will be bad. They have more than enough cash to handle the tariffs for a little while. But it's likely that the iPhone 17 will be more expensive. But here's the thing. People are racing out to buy a phone they weren't planning on buying. They're racing out to buy a car they weren't planning on buying, so that when they wanted to buy the car 9 months from now or the phone a year from now, they won't have to pay more. What tariffs do is distort people's behavior in a way that they're trying to avoid paying more for something, and they end up buying it a different way, not postponing the car purchase, postponing the refrigerator purchase, living with something they don't really want. An economist on Twitter said we were going to buy another car, so our family had two. We're going to try and limp along with one car and see how that does. Well, that's a weird way to live that the tariffs caused. So
last question, because we got to go here in a second. I see that a lot of people, Elon Musk has come out against tariffs. He's retweeting Milton Friedman, who's a non-tariff dude. Bill Ackman, he's dead. I know, but he did a video of Milton Friedman talking about whatever, free trade. Bill Ackman was a big Trump supporter. Ken Griffin, a massive Republican donor. All these people are saying that the tariffs are idiotic. What do you make of that schism? And is there going to be internal pushback? Because, let's be honest, Republicans fundamentally, once upon a time, believed in free trade.
100 years of Republican free trade thrown out in a single Rose Garden ceremony by a guy who, to be honest, no one thinks actually understands tariffs. I don't know. I don't think it's possible to predict. You know,
it's hard to declare victory worldwide and then withdraw your tariffs, right? What Trump always wants is victory. He wants to say, I talked to Sheinbaum, the president of Mexico. I talked to the prime minister of Canada. I won. Right. And now we're going to roll the tariffs.
We got a big, beautiful deal.
It's hard to say, I talked to the whole world and I've rolled the tariffs back and we won. And so the problem is that this global system is going to be hard to declare victory. I want to say one thing before we move on to tariffs. There are things that are being tariffed where the trade imbalance is the natural way the world works.
Like?
85% of seafood sold in the U.S. is imported. We can't catch enough seafood to put cod and shrimp on the table. 99% of coffee Americans drink every morning is imported. There's no place but Hawaii and Puerto Rico to grow coffee in America. 99% imported. Olive oil. You can't get Italian or Spanish olive oil from, you know, Oklahoma. 97% imported. Cheese, imported. So so some things are done somewhere. Bananas, the number one grocery item in America, imported. We don't grow bananas except in Hawaii. So it's not clear why you would put a tariff on coffee and bananas, because there's no way of equalizing the trade.
Right. All right, we got to get out of here, Charles. Appreciate it. On Twitter at...
That's it. We're done.
That's it. Yeah, we're done. Look at the time. Look at the time. We got to go. Sadly, we have to go. Happy anniversary. Happy birthday. Happy birthday. You're 64 now. And we will talk to you next week when you'll still be 64. Thanks, Charles. C. Fishman on Twitter. Jeffrey, what's coming up next?
Here's what's coming up next.
Jeff, here's what's coming up next on Jason and John. Jessica Benson will join their program. Tim Murray is with me today on Jeffrey Wright and Company. Jeff will be with Gabe at 5 o'clock.
Thanks for listening, buddy. We got to get out of here. Back tomorrow for Now Work is Done.
Waiting for the best deals? Spring Black Friday savings are here. Shop early access now at Blinds.com and save big on new custom window treatments. At Blinds.com, shopping online for custom window treatments doesn't mean sacrificing on service, selection, or style. As the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, Blinds.com has hundreds of options to fit any decor and budget. Choose from stylish roller or bamboo shades, blackout options, and more. We even have motorized shades for your patio. DIY, or let our experts handle the heavy lifting. Blinds.com has you covered with free virtual consultations. We'll even send a pro to do the measure and install. Try before you buy with free samples delivered to your door. With over 25 million windows covered, every order's backed with Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Spring Black Friday Early Access now for up to 40% off with minimum purchase, plus a free measure. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can choose the TV you want with DirecTV.
So now they can pick out their favorite entertainment when they sign up and save money?
You mean if you like sports?
You can get a sports pack.
What about entertainment?
Entertainment pack.
It's like finding an old pizza with your favorite toppings.
Which for me would be pineapple and toenails.
pineapple?
Pay for the TV you want, not the TV you don't. Genre packs starting at $34.99 a month. Visit DirectTV.com for more information. New residential customers only. Local channels vary by market. Services renew monthly unless you cancel online. Credit card required. Restrictions apply.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.